Based on the Swedish drama Real Humans, Humans deals with human-looking androids in everyday life. We get to know a family that has Anita, played by Gemma Chan, an android that is more than meets the surface. And this is Rewind as I look back on season one. What makes these conversations special to me is a talk I had with William Hurt. And this is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. From the creators of the MI5 British TV series comes a series about an alternate timeline where advances in artificial intelligence have made synths or synthetics commonplace. Playing one of those synths that is sent to the Hawkins family is Gemma Chan, and she is named Anita and is now Anita Hawkins. Her dynamic with the family she joins is one of the most interesting aspects of the series. The actor has appeared in Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit on the big screen and Sherlock on the small screen.
Hi, Gemma. It's great to talk to you. And so far, I'm enjoying your performance. It's really an amazing series. I wanted to ask you, do you think probably one of the themes of the show, of the series, is not only examining robots, but maybe our own humanity as well?
Definitely. I think that at the crux of the show, it really wants to explore what makes us human. And really everything comes from that. It's really about, it explores the blurring of the line between humans and machines, and it really wants to explore the human condition, and uses the framework of the show and the AI in the show, and it really uses that to explore those themes.
And do you think that these synths in the show, do you think they have rights?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and that's a question that is explored in the show, I would say. I think the show, very much in terms of all of these things, it doesn't dictate what the answers are. It's very much about just opening up the debate and opening up those conversations. And I think there are lots of them. I would say for me, on a personal level, and I think everyone as a viewer will probably get something slightly different, but I found it really interesting that you can see a lot of parallels in the show between the show and between real life in terms of how we treat certain people in our society as less than human. And that was really interesting to me.
I liked the kind of like her past life, what we saw, her relationship with Colin Morgan. Is that going to be explored more in the series? And also, what was it like to work with him as well?
The relationship between Leo and Anita is definitely something that you will find out more about as you find out about Anita's history over the course of the show. Again, it's hard to go into specifics without going into spoiler territory.
Right.
Everything is, I would say that he has, the bond she has with him is something that drives both him and her throughout the course of the show. And also, it's not necessarily, I know that certain people have, that things aren't necessary. It's not necessarily the bond that people, it might not be predictable in terms of the nature of their relationship, is all I'll say. And in terms of working with Colin is a wonderful actor, and I was a huge fan of his before working with him. I would just say that I love every minute of working with him. He's so dedicated to the work and, being giving the best performance that I feel that you yourself or I myself had to up my game whenever I had a scene with him. And I can't really say anything negative about that. I loved it, and I see many, many more scenes with him.
Well, looking forward to seeing that part of the story and just everything else, too.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
There's more Sci-Fi Talk, so stick with it. There's more on Rewind with the series Human for Season 1. Here's more Sci-Fi Talk with Tony Tolato. Playing the Hawkins couple, Joe and Lara, are Tom Goodman Hill, who has appeared in the acclaimed Black Mirror series and will next be in Everest. His wife is played by Catherine Parkinson from Pirate Radio, and she also has a Sherlock connection.
Great. It's great to talk to you guys.
Hi.
What kind of hooked me right away is that this is a couple that's dealing with a lot of real life issues, even though they use a sci-fi solution. But, you know, balancing career and family and kind of knowing their roles in today's society. Can you both comment on, you know, that aspect of your characters?
Yeah, I think I was very interested in playing a woman who, you know, is supposed to have it all in terms of wife and career, mother to three children, but actually really feels she has nothing because she feels she's coming up short in every sphere of her life. Because I think that's something that a lot of modern Western women feel in the pursuit of managing everything and having it all. They actually end up having none of it. And, you know, what do you give away of yourself when you delegate the responsibility that of reading to your child to bed? You know, you sort of think that you're passing off more menial tasks to the robot, the machine, but actually you give a bit of yourself away every time, you know, somebody else, robot or nanny, changes your child's nappy. Or, and I was very interested in that because obviously as a mother to two very young children, it was something I was thinking about a lot in my own life.
My children are grown up. They're 19 and 17 years old. And so this show came around at exactly the right time for me because I felt like a lot of the conversations that occur within the show reflect conversations I'd had with my own teenagers when they were the age that Matty and Toby are in the show. And when you add Sophie into the mix, this 8-year-old who is wide-eyed and thrilled about the whole idea of aesthetics, brings up huge questions about parenting, about how you advise your children to engage with subject matter online, with social media. It also throws up questions about security, personal security. They're important conversations to be having because, you know, my 19-year-old does his own coding for his website now, and coming from two very creative parents who are not remotely tech savvy, seeing that your average 18 and 19-year-olds learn to code now and they do it off their own bat and not even necessarily taught it, shows you that there's a whole generation that need to have debates about this kind of subject and the impact it's going to have on their own family life when they become parents themselves, because artificial intelligence may have a much greater role in the governance of your own life and the way you have your own family.
And would you both say that that with our like technological advances and certainly with the robots or androids in the series, that we're kind of losing a little bit of our humanity because we are advancing?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm more allergic than the average person to things like social media. For that reason, I have to say, I mean, I know that Twitter is a great democratic tool and everything, but I'm sort of cautious about anything that sort of removes you from normal human experience of looking someone in the eye. And, you know, I just sort of think it's very easy to just become a boast fest, basically. And what does that do to us all? Sorry, I know it's great to publicize shows, don't get me wrong and everything, but I think things like Facebook and stuff, once you take away the face-to-face experience, it does sort of, it can easily become a bit more of a sort of show-and-tell situation where it's like, look how great my life is. But if you're actually sitting opposite a person, you'd be much more sensitive to their response and more interested perhaps in the person talking to
you. It's weird enough, you know, if you could see the two of us crouching over a phone in the corner of a hotel room talking to someone who sounds like they might be an Alpha Centauri because you're so far away. just that is kind of strange. But at the same time, you know, not more than 100 years ago, no one would believe that we'd be able to be having the conversation that we're having now across great distances. And the exponential curve in technology is irresistible. And that means that you have to have debates about it now.
You know, if you've got something in your house that can cook better than any human, then you're not going to do much cooking, but sort of cooking and failing is and making bad meals is a huge part of my life and a huge part of what makes me feel human. So I think it's pretty true. It's a good point that they're giving away some of our humanity or compromising our humanity in some way with technology, and that we need to be aware of that.
Well, it's great. Just the fact that we're talking like this shows you that the show is going to have an impact, because I think it's hitting home on what's going on with us right now.
I hope so.
More on Rewind with Humans, looking back at Season 1. William Hurt is Dr. George Milliken, who was involved in the design of the synths. He's appeared in The Chilling Mr. Brooks, A History of Violence with Viggo Mortensen, and won Best Actor in Kiss of the Spider-Woman.
Pleasure to talk to you, sir. Admired your work for a long time.
Thank you.
What intrigues me about this show is, in your character, is that he was co-inventor of the synths, but also now is in a situation where he has almost an emotional attachment to one of the synths in Odie, and then Vera comes into the picture. Kind of describe to us what those relationships are and how, in your character, your life has really changed because of it.
Well, George made a choice, an important life-important choice, not to go forward with designing sentient synths prematurely. He was involved in the engineering of the mechanics of the bodies, but not the so-called mind.
Mm.
And what he did was make a choice to remain human in the most fragile sense of the word, the most vulnerable sense of the word, because he saw something in that experience, though it was fraught with the worst any of us faced, the risk all of us face, mortality itself, of realizing the potential, or his potential as a human being. In other words, he went home and he lived with his wife. His wife passes away.
All right.
And then he suffers an anomaly of cerebral malfunction, and he loses some of his memory systems, which makes Odie, who was a robotic of the fundamental sorts, not the sentient kind, in the life that he had with his wife, and that robotic has all the memories of the events that took place while that robotic was part of their life, and that becomes George's relationship to his wife, because the synth, or not, and the synth means synthetic, remembers all those events in rudimentary fashion, and that helps George continue the life of the life of his relationship with his wife. And that's why the emotional part. He knows that Odie is a machine, but he also is grateful to anything that helps keep his memories of his beloved alive. So he allows himself the responsible pleasure of projecting onto Odie some of the feelings. But at the same time, he always differentiates between real and unreal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting question for all of us, you know. How much are we going to let ourselves feel about when in fact the machinery is there to be an extension of a far more complex computer, which is the computer of our biochemistry, our body. It's a big, big, big question.
Oh, yeah.
I have so little time to discuss it with you.
I know. Yeah, it's like the question is also, can as humans love a machine?
Humans can really love a machine in the way that you would love a human being, unless, and this may sound flippant to you, but I've used it in a couple of other interviews, unless the machine becomes human. So I think that's our task. If you want to have as fulfilling a relationship with a machine as you do with a human being, then you better make sure that machine is as fulfilled or potentially fulfilled as a human being. And that would be our task. I would love to be able to spend about 10 minutes explaining what that means.
Yeah, I know.
But if the machine were more human, it would make sense. And so, are we going to have the audacity to make machines more human? Which means, of course, taking the very great risk of giving machines the capacity for suffering and surprise.
Yeah. I'm sure the series is going to bring up a lot of questions like these.
I hope it does, and I hope it does to the American audience, as it has already done so beautifully with the British, because they responded very, very loud and clear to it, and I'm hoping the Americans, we Americans.
Sounds great. If there's something that disturbs me about the show a little bit, is with your character and Vera, it's almost like she's kind of not only running the household, but running you a little bit. Kind of talk about that aspect of that and how machines on the series play into that.
I think it raises a big question about whether machines are going to be used to inflict a police state on us. I mean, on the people who are not competent or in agreement with the use of them. And as in a free society, it is the responsibility for every civilian to resent the state over controlling an individual's existence, you know, in lots of different ways, lots of different stages of life. You know, just recently, for instance, in England, they agreed to allow 3 different portions of genetic coding to be included in 1 in vitro fertilization.
Mm, yeah.
That's a law. That came up. There's a lot of people who were protesting against that. But what they were trying to do was reduce, you know, the fight for it, which prevailed, was based on an argument that said that there would be less likelihood of painful mutation in the egg when fertilized, because it reduced by a very large percentage the chance for mutation or handicap.
Yeah.
And at the same time, that a lot of people are going, wait a second, are we going to be creating an animal husbandry state, a boutique genetics state, and are we allowing evolution or, you know, God or to do the designing of our species? You know, there are huge questions about this, and when she walks in the room, she's like the stereotype of the police state meddling in your life at a time when you're losing some of your physical capacities but may not be losing them mentally.
Yeah.
You know, I think that the series is designed to raise a lot of questions. I don't think it has the presumption to answer them finally. I think this is what makes it a good series, part of what does.
Well, I agree. I definitely had a 1984 moment with her a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
It's an honor to talk to you. I mean, you're an American treasure. Your career speaks for itself, so it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
As we said, I wish we had more time talking to each other. He was very fascinating. Humans can be seen to buy on Apple TV, Google Play, Vudu, Amazon, and on Hoopla with a subscription. Customizable podcast playlists, exclusive videos, special episodes like the Mix 100 podcast, selected by listener downloads. All this and more at Sci-Fi Talk Plus, now with 1,000 episodes uncut and a special offer for free lifetime access, now available for a limited time. Click on the link in the show notes. No anonymous signups are allowed. Thanks for listening. This is Tony Tolato.